constant in all of your ways, and you're faithful in all of your ways. Even when I'm unfaithful, you're faithful in all your ways to us. God, you are loving in all of your ways. You're graceful in all of your ways. You are merciful in all of your ways to us. 'Cause you're a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. You're a good, good mother, brother, sister, father, friend, doctor, confidant. You are everything, everything, everything that I need to us. You're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. You're a good, good father. Hey, to us.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
He have us to say to his people today, and it is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, and then I'll get out of your way. Doesn't take me long. The Bible says in chapter 3, Joshua 9 through 15, it says, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come here. Hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby you shall know, you're going to be assured. This is a definite. You're going to know that the living God." And the reason why Joshua says the living God is because Israel had witnessed 10 of Egypt God being defeated. So Israel already knew that there were 10 dead gods. And Joshua wanted to make sure that they knew that the God that they serve is living. Somebody ought to say amen. I mean, your God is living. The heathen's God is dead. But your God is a living God. The living God is among you, that he will without fail drive from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Havites, which are diseases in our time. All right, man. Which are enemies in our time. All right. God will drive them out. And the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites, these are problems and trials and troubles and anger and liars. And can I go to the young folks and hate us? God will drive them out. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men, and he says, and of every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before, y'all with me yet? And at verse 15, and as they bear the ark were coming unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the Jordan. Look at this in parentheses. For Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of the harvest. I want to talk to you today about the problem and the promises. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to talk about the problem and the promise tonight. All of the problems. The grass will wither, the flower it will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. The problem and the promise. Notice that the children of Israel now have wandered through the desert. Some say from Egypt to Canaan was 11 days. Some say it was 40 days. Being out there 2 years ago and taking a tour in Israel, when I went over there to actually see it, you can see why the children of Israel murmured. Because coming out of Egypt, all you see is rocks and dirt and mountains. I think I would have been on that committee to want to go back. Simply because we discover that many of us walk by sight and not by faith. I'm not going to be long. I promise you, I won't be long. Many of us, and when I looked out over the Negev Desert, I immediately was convicted because I said that I would have been one of the ones that would have told Moses, you got to be out of your ever-loving mind because we don't see any water. All we see is rocks and dirt and mountains. But thank God that he sees beyond what we see. God. And something else that I discovered there in the desert, that the children of Israel on their journey in the desert, at times, Pastor, they would get right at the border and didn't know it. I mean, when they took us on the tour of where the children of Israel journeyed, at times they were right at the border. And then they would turn back because of the lack of faith. You see, doubt keeps you drunk. Doubt keeps you blind. Doubt keeps you wondering. Faith takes you forward. Let me say that again, because somebody is not. Doubt keeps you wondering. I mean, doubt brings confusion. Doubt brings disillusion and disarray and discouragement and depression. But faith takes you forward. If they just had have had enough faith in God from the promises that he had given them, they would have been in Canaan a long time ago. I mean, their faith would have taken them further. But notice here, God brings them now to Canaan. He brings them to the Jordan River, the only thing that is separating the children of Israel from the desert to Canaan is the Jordan. The only thing that's separating them now. There is no enemies on the other side. No, there is no armed enemy standing there at this point right now. The only thing that is between them is the Jordan. But notice that we see as they get there. Can I just paint the picture? As they get there, you will come to discover that God had already told them before they left Egypt that they would enter Canaan. There's somebody here. Let me put a pin right there, because there's somebody here that God has already told you your destination and your destiny, but you keep doubting God. You keep saying, well, you keep looking at the circumstances. You keep listening at folk in your ear that keep telling you they ain't it, didn't do it, and they ain't it started that business, and she didn't make it, and your cousin used to try to do that, and they didn't make it. And you're listening at them when God is telling you that you have already said that he's going to take you there. That you are going to be successful. That you are going to be the head and not the tail. That you are going to be the lender and not the borrower. That you are going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out, blessed when you get up, blessed when you lay down. God has already promised you, but yet you got a problem with listening at folk. Preach, Reverend Turner. Let me go on, lest I shall overload your wagon. Notice here that the children of Israel now comes to the Jordan. God brings them down to the Jordan, and notice that they come there, and when they get there, the bank of the Jordan is overflowing. The banks. I mean, after all that we've gone through, now when we get there, that the banks of the river is overflowing. I'm talking about after all that we've been through, it seems like things ought to be easier. But notice that the writer put it in parentheses. He says, I want to make this a point that it is important that you realize that this was really, at this time, out of the ordinary. And I wanted to show you that God's power is bigger than any problem. I wish I had three believers. Touch a neighbor and say, neighbor, God's power is bigger than your problems. It's bigger than, see, God wanted to magnify the miracle. I wish I had some believers. Sometimes God will let your Jordan overflow to magnify the miracle. I wish I had three believers. I'm talking about God sometimes will allow the problems to overflow. Well, he will allow it to get so bad. You know, he don't step in right then when the times are just right there. I mean, he don't come in at the top of the marriage. Sometimes he come in right when the marriage is about to end. Preach, Reverend Turner. No, notice here that the Jordan is overflowing. The Jordan really represents in our times problems. I'm talking about God. Look, and here's something that caught, confined, and captivated my attention, because it seems to me that if God was going to bring his children there, it seems to me like he should have brought them there when the Jordan wasn't overflowing. I mean, why didn't God, why are we connected? Why didn't God bring them there at the regular time? And when you read the text, you're going to notice that God only allowed them to stay there 3 days. I wish I had three believers. The text said they only stayed there 3 days. Which tells us that God don't want you to look at your problem too long. Because when you look at your problem too long, then your problem starts to get bigger than God. Watch this. And so when they get there, notice that they come there and God shows them that the Jordan now is overflowing. 3 points here that we're going to pull out of this text and then I'll leave you alone. 3 points here. Notice that when he gets them there, first of all, that there had been some struggles and some trials and some tribulations that God had brought them through prior to getting here. Somebody didn't get it yet. Prior to you getting to where you are now, God has brought you through some many dangers, toils, and snares. He brought you out of some wars. He brought you out of some fights. He's brought you out of some haters. He's brought you out of some stuff that you never thought that you could get out of. To show you that he had promised you that he'll never leave you. He says, I want to show you that I'll never leave. First of all, you got to understand that if you are saved, and saved means that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that Matthew 3:16-17 tells you that he is the Son of God, that Matthew 27:50 tells you that he died on the cross, that Matthew 28:5 tell you that he rose victorious from the grave, that Matthew, I wish I had some believers here, that Matthew 28:5-6 said that he rose, and Acts chapter 1:11-12 said that he will come back again. That's the gospel, that if you believe that, then now that qualifies you to be a child of God, and now you are a carrier of the covenant. Preach, Reverend Turner. I mean, you are a carrier of the covenant of God. God no longer needs to put himself in a box. He's put himself inside of you. You don't need the priest to carry you around now. You are the priest. I wish I had three believers. I mean, you don't have to worry about whether a priest going, what, four of them going to come, two of them going to get here, and two of them going to get there, and two of them going to get here, too, and they're going to carry you along. No, the Holy Spirit dwells inside. So therefore, if you are a carrier of the covenant, that means that you are a carrier of over 8,888 promises that is in this word. 7,777 of them is directly to you. I wish I had three believers. Touch the neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm carrying some stuff with me. I mean, you just got some stuff with you that you don't even know you got. I mean, you loaded. Watch this. And so when they get there, can I just preach and then I go home? Then watch this. Notice here that they get there, and notice you're going to find, first of all, by them winning those battles and God bringing them through, first of all, you got to understand that you have more favor than floods. You got more favor than floods. God has been showing you throughout your life. Why you think you didn't go crazy? Well, hold on, I need to talk to somebody. Why you think you didn't lose your mind? There's some folk that you know came up, and with all of the stuff that they went through, they actually lost their mind. Why you think you didn't lose? I'm talking about some folk lost their job, lost their husband, lost their wife, lost their health, lost their wealth, and some of them just went all the way crazy, and you didn't. There's some folk now that look at you and wonder how you still standing. They had counted you out. You don't know it, but let me tell you, just in case you didn't know it, there were some folk that had written you off. I mean, with all of the drugs, all of the drinking, and all of the hatred that was going on in your life, there were some folk that said you wasn't going to be nothing, you'll never be nothing, and here you are! Woo! Preach, Reverend Turner. Woo! I mean, there's some folk that says, I know she ain't going to make it. They done lost that job. They done closed it down. They done gave them pink slips, and they done moved to the cross sea. I know they really thought that they had it going on. Now her husband done left, her man done left, her next door neighbor done left, and everybody else done left, and now they going to lose their mind. And here you are. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm blessed. I mean, you see, God wanted to show you that you have more favor than floods. Secondly of all, after he shows you that he had brought you down to the Jordan, that you have more favor than floods, notice here that the writer says that the Jordan was at flood stage. I'm talking about the Jordan was at flood stage. Your problems are at flood stage. I'm talking about you got some stuff going on that folk don't know anything about. Sure, you come into church, you got your wave, your weave, and your wig together. Folk ask you how you doing. I'm doing all right, but they don't know how your problems have reached flood stage. They don't know that you're about to go off somewhere. You are a walking time bomb. They don't know what's going on inside of you. They see your nice car. They see your nice clothes. They see you all made up. Everything look good. You walk in the church. Everybody say, hey, how you doing? You got this false facade? Say, oh, I'm doing. I'm blessed. I'm more than blessed. We learned the church lingo. I'm too blessed to be stressed. But they don't understand that your problems are at flood stage. I'm gonna preach myself happy. But I came here to tell you that God, when your problems are at flood stage, then God wanted to bring you down there to show you that when your problems are at flood stage, that you ought to have flood stage faith. I'm going to leave here. I know I might not come back, but you need to let everybody know that I got flood stage faith. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got flood stage faith. I mean, no, the higher, the bigger my problems get, the better my faith get, the stronger my faith get, because I know that the God that I serve will not leave me.
Your faith ought to reach flood stage. You ought to have flood stage faith. I mean, when you know that the God that you serve will supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. I mean, every believer ought to keep a faith file on God. I mean, when your problems reach flood stage, you ought to reach into your faith file. When I was hungry, he fed me. When I was thirsty, he gave me water. When I was in war, he was a battle axe. I wish I had three believers. When I was sick, he made me well. When I had heart problems, he fixed it. When I had a bad heart, he gave me a heart transplant. I wish I had three believers. When my children was hungry, he made a way out of you. You ought to have flood stage faith. We ought to know that we have more favor than floods. Then we ought to know that we have flood stage faith. Thirdly, we see in God's word, our faith will manifest when faced with floods. Your faith ought to get bigger. Your faith ought to come out when faced with floods. Because of his promises. I wish I had three believers. I mean, your faith should come to fruition when you are faced with floods. God said, now is the time for the children of Israel to show faith. I mean, many of us talk a good game. Many of us said, child, we have advice. We become dear Abbies when somebody else is going through something. When somebody else is faithful, you know what, child? If it was me, you ought to go pray. I mean, you. If it was me, you ought to go fast. You ought to go talk to the Lord. We can become dear Abbies when somebody else is going through it. But many of us freak out when we go through it. Child, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going. I'm going to payday lending. I don't know what, child. I don't know what. You see, we freak out. But we have to understand, as children of God, when we are faced with floods, our faith ought to manifest. We ought to get to the point to where we say, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. I only know that he's going to fix it. I wish I had three believers here that knows that God will.
We here at Christian Love Baptist Church would like to invite you to our Christian Love Family Life Center, located 3515 Hudson Boulevard, next door to the Christian Love Baptist Church. You're welcome to join our fitness center with state-of-the-art equipment. Need a place for a wedding reception, family reunion, or conference space? Well, look no further than the Christian Love Family Life Center. We can meet all your needs with the latest audio and video equipment. For more information, contact Miss Patsy at 318-709-8116. Or Miss Linda Johnson at 770-371-3466.
Mahler Furniture, a community institution, always providing excellent value at affordable prices. All furniture, bedding, and accessories at amazing value. Interest-free financing. Layaways also available while you're waiting for that tax refund. Remember, you didn't buy it from Mahler, you paid too much. Mahler Furniture is a proud community sponsor, 98 Bolton Avenue.
When you experience the loss of a loved one and you need to select a funeral home, Robinson Family Mortuary is that funeral home. Robinson Family